This morning's scripture is from James 1, verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
So before we start today, I'm going to do a little audience participation. Just get you prepared for the sermon. So I want to ask all of you, I think I have a pretty good idea, but who has lived in Cremona or the Cremona area the longest? And I'm going to say some years, and I want you to put up your hand. We'll go 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Okay, I'll stop there. That's great. Let's bow down in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that has come through these doors today. Lord, as we venture through the word today, as we look through a little bit of the book of James, Lord, I pray that your spirit can ignite something in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for this time that we can freely open your word and see the power that's in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome again. It's a great day today. And today we're going through our Kingdom Come series as well. And this is our last sermon in the series, rather, as we're going to be looking at the kingdom in Cremona and the Cremona area. And for you that have been in Cremona or the area for a long time, I'm sure you've seen many things change. Many things come, many things leave, and just a lot of change happen. And today we're going to explore how this whole idea of the kingdom of heaven, how it can come here in Cremona and the area. So if you're joining us today, we've been going through what does Jesus really mean when he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We've been going through the world, we've been going through here today, the communities around us. We talked about as well here in this church. Now, before we begin, I want to share a brief story of just actually a very recent story when I was in Calgary. So a little while back, I had the opportunity to see some ex-Mormons speak at the church that I was at, and they had come to a loving relationship with Jesus. And during this concert where they played some songs and did testimonies, they talked about how the Mormons, if you don't know, they believe that you're only saved after everything you can do. And of course, we believe that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not our own doing. And during this evening, I saw tears come down these people's eyes as they were so tired of the religion that they've been following for so many years. They didn't know how much they could do until they could have salvation. And when they experienced Jesus for the first time, they finally realized that everything was accomplished on the cross. And they said this, that we're saved to do good works, and we're not saved by the works that we do. One of my favorite verses from the Bible echoes this, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, which simply states that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not our own doing, so that no one can boast. And unfortunately, some people take this out of context. They think, well, I can do whatever I please. God will forgive me, of course. And that's the mindset of a lot of the Christians these days. And if you remember my first sermon in the series, I talked about the common view of salvation is that Jesus came so that I could go to heaven. That's it. I can live my life here, and I'm going to heaven when I die. And of course, that's only part of the story as we've been exploring through this idea of the kingdom. Now, if we only read the Ephesians passage, if we only read John 3:16, we may think that that's the only story. We may think that the kingdom is just about sitting down and singing "When We All Get to Heaven," which is one of my favorite hymns, by the way. The kingdom of heaven is about making disciples, as we explored last week with the Great Commission. And it's taking our call to be witnesses seriously, as Jesus said in Acts 1:8. Now, the book of James, if you're not familiar with it, is highly regarded as this book of action. It's this faith with works idea. You see, the common perception around that time was that Christians could continue to live sinfully, they could ignore the lost, and they chose to ignore one of the greatest commandments. You see, they tended to remember to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But many of those people forgot that we're also commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, James, who was the brother of Jesus, argues that faith without works is dead. Yes, we're saved by the incredible and amazing grace of Jesus, as we see in Ephesians and many other passages. However, we're also saved so that we can do good works, so that we can love our neighbors, and we can love people around us in Cremona and beyond. The question that we're going to explore today is, how are we as Christians, how are we as Cremona Congregational Church, how are we going to impact our surrounding communities? And I've been exploring a little bit. I went to Water Valley, I think it was yesterday, and Didsbury and Carstairs, and I know I still have to explore a little bit. And a lot of you know those communities more than I do. So we're going to explore that idea today. And throughout this series, we've been reminded in the passage in Matthew about being a town on a place on a hill, a town on a hill that shines bright for everyone to see. A light that shines with the love of Christ. And if you're not a Christian today or you're exploring this, I'd encourage you to look through this and really see what this means for the church. What does that mean to be shining a shining light in Cremona and beyond? Now, in order to explore this, we're going to go through the first chapter in James. So if you don't have it open yet, I encourage you to open that. There should be Bibles in front of you, or I'm sure you can share with somebody as well. We're going to read beginning from the first chapter and just the four verses. And it's also on the screen behind me, if that works for you. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And we're going to stop there and keep your Bibles open as we're going to sort of go through a few parts of James chapter 1. Now, verse 1 here tells us to count it joy, my brothers and sisters. I'm sure that many of you who have been here for years and years have seen many trials, many things happen for the kingdom and for naught, and some of those have produced good things and some have not. And James here says that we need to count it as pure joy when these trials happen. Now, James acknowledges that our faith will be tested, and as I've mentioned before in this series, as a Christian, we're living a life that is countercultural. It's not the norm to love everybody. It's not the norm to show grace and mercy to everybody. But that's what we're called to do. And James acknowledges this. And this is a common theme, being tested by our faith in the beginning of the church, as we read in Acts before, about last week and the week before. And when we have faith, we're tested by people, and ultimately by Satan and that. And sometimes we're comfortable in our faith. We live our lives in the busyness of everyday life. We have our things to do each week, chores every day, and don't have time to express our faith in very uncomfortable situations. We don't seem to have our faith tested much, it might seem. And I know this. I've grown up in the church for all of my life, and I've been in that quote-unquote Christian bubble even, and living my life in the busyness. And as I've grown older, I realized that this idea of living our lives comfortably and ignoring the commands that Jesus has given us is not what God calls us to do. And I'm sure James realizes this as well as he writes these very bold words to consider it pure joy when trials happen. Now, verse 4 may seem a little harder to accomplish. As James here says in the NIV, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, if you're thinking about especially that last phrase, not lacking anything, you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I know I lack quite a few things. But it's not saying that we need to be perfect. Actually, in the ESV translation, it says that we may be perfect and complete, lacking, complete, not lacking nothing. And for some of us, we may feel discouraged when we read that verse. We may think, well, how am I supposed to build the kingdom here in Cremona? How am I supposed to build the kingdom on earth? And I encourage you today, like I encouraged you last week, that Jesus uses people like Peter, for example, in the Bible, a common man, to build his kingdom, to build his church. And it's a great story. And in this process, that when we're moving through our relationship with Jesus, we're growing in the likeness of Christ. We're being sanctified in his spirit and in his word. And the church is not full of perfect people. It's full of a broken mishmash of people. And I love that. It's what makes church so messy and yet so fun at the same time. And we're going to jump a little bit farther in James now, to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, which was read this morning. So you don't have to flip anywhere else unless it's on the next page for your Bible. And yeah, let's read this passage once more. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. And religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And those are quite a few verses and there's a lot in that. So we're going to stay on that passage for the rest of the message here. And these verses lay out things that we must remember even before we begin to think of building the kingdom here in Cremona and beyond. If we even desire for the kingdom to come right here, we need to go through these things. And as we explore these verses, I want you to write down in those sermon notes or anywhere, anything that the Holy Spirit is telling you to write down, and anything that you feel God is telling you, I encourage you to do that. And I love that there's a place for you to write notes right there. And when we see this passage in James, we're reminded to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I think we can all agree that this is a good thing. We've seen maybe in our own lives and we've seen in other lives that people or ourselves can be not these things. We can not be quick to listen, we can't be slow to speak and slow to anger. We become overwhelmed with our lives being so busy that some of us can be impatient. We can say things without thinking and then immediately after say, why did I say that? Or why did I think that? We could become caught up in anger sometimes. I mentioned my friends at the beginning who were ex-Mormons and are now Christians. And one of the things they vividly remember as Mormons is going up to people's houses, knocking on the door, and people being quite angry with them. Some stories include garbage cans being thrown at them, just a lot of anger, yelling. And I don't know about you, but those stories don't make me feel good. But the reputation that Christians have. And when talking with non-believers around the area, as I've been doing, and in my life, the one thing that they have against Christians is that we're hypocritical. We're hypocrites, and we don't do what we're supposed to do. Even non-Christians, a lot of non-Christians, non-unchurched people, know that we're called to love, and we're called to show grace and mercy. And then they see a lot of Christians at the top of news stories with violence and conflict. Mahatma Gandhi famously said, "I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." And I love that quote, but at the same time, I don't love that quote. I think, unfortunately, it's true for a lot of people, and we really need to look in that and try to figure out how we can change that. And it's a very famous quote. If you're exploring Christianity today, I strongly urge you to explore the founder of our faith and not the people who follow it. Unfortunately, we don't do well most of the time. But Jesus calls us to have a higher calling. He calls us to love above everything, as we've explored in this kingdom series. You see, I'm not saying these things for us to feel guilty or remorse. Rather, James tells us that we're called to be better than our sinful, lazy, unfortunate nature. We're all called to love above everything. And the kingdom is about love and showing grace to everyone, to people around us, the people that we see in the store, people everywhere around the world. And before we continue on in James, you don't have to flip to this passage, but you can if you want. It'll be on the screen. It's the very famous story of a man named Zacchaeus in Luke. And it recounts the story of a very hated man, a man who was very much disliked by everybody, a tax collector. And Jesus, in his grace, showed love to this man. And we're going to explore a tiny bit about that. And if you want to open up your Bible, you can. It's Luke 19, 1-9, but it'll be here as well behind me. Luke 19, 1-9 says this, and I'll read from the screen. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, which is not a problem I have. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Now in the world of the Jews and the Jewish faith at that time, there wasn't many that were more hated than tax collectors. In fact, even the Romans didn't like them much because they kept a lot of the money for themselves. Since this is the case, can you imagine the shock of the crowd when Jesus declares, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And then eventually the last verse, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." Can you imagine the shock of the crowd, the gasping? Jesus is conversing with a tax collector. What does this mean? What did that mean for them? What does it mean for us? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And this includes everybody in Cremona, everybody beyond as well. And we're going to come back to James now and see how he wraps up this first chapter. And as we read here in this chapter, we see that James is calling us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Now, if anybody remembers the 90s at all, you might remember the famous phrase, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I know downstairs in the basement, it's actually on the wall there in the little area with the couches. Christians all over the world were wearing wristbands, maybe you were as well, with the famous WWJD phrase on it. In fact, it might still be happening today, I don't know. Songs were being made, people all over the world were basing their faith on that phrase. What would Jesus do? In fact, it went so far that people were asking themselves that question to every single action they would do. Would Jesus choose Coke or Pepsi? Would Jesus like pancakes or waffles? In fact, some of you right now might be thinking about that answer. What would Jesus actually do in that situation? Would Jesus this? Would Jesus that? You see, this phrase in the 90s, at first glance, was fine. It was actually great. We were thinking about what Jesus would do and what our decision would be based on that. Unfortunately, what happened was that we as Christians and people around the world were basing that answer solely on what we wanted to do in silly situations, possibly like Coke or Pepsi or just everyday actions in our lives. And we weren't thinking about what Jesus would want or even reading the Bible about that. You see, a lot of those people and a lot of people today are hearers of the word and not just doers. Unfortunately, in a society where, even a Christian society where we don't pick up the Bible and read it, we're unaware of what Jesus has actually done in our lives and has done in the past. And I encourage you, I know it's hard every day to open up the Bible, but there's such great benefit to opening up and hearing the word and listening and reading it. But this brings up the last part of this passage, the last four verses, which we're going to reread here, James 1, 23 to 27. We're just going to reread this. And I believe this is a message to us as well, 23 to 27. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And as a church and as individuals that follow Jesus, let's look into the mirror ourselves. A lot of us look into a literal mirrors every day and ask ourselves, are we doers of the word? I remember the first Sunday I was here and we were going through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, and a lot of people just kept on going and going, which at first glance gave me a bit of a chuckle, but it made me realize that a lot of the times we just read it or it's just routine. This time of going to church and saying the Lord's Prayer and a lot of passages, they're just routine. But I want us to be doers of what that says. When Jesus says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it's not just words. It's a bold proclamation from Jesus himself. As we go forth into Cremona, as we go forth into our weeks ahead, and as we go forth into Christmas, I want you to ask yourselves that question about the mirror and ask ourselves that question as a church. It's an exciting time here. We're going into the new year with a lot of ideas to do, and I want us to evaluate where we are. Are we doers? Are we going to be doers of the word or just hearers? I know sometimes I wish that I could be more of the mirror that God is calling me to be, and I know a lot of us can relate. But like I said before, the church is full of broken, messy people, a mishmash of people, and we can come alongside each other and raise each other up. God is calling us to reflect and go into action. That's what this whole series has been about, to look at this topic of the kingdom, to reflect about what does that mean for us, for our communities, for our world, and to put it into action. In the first sermon of my series, we went over the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus clearly says that one of the ways we should pray is saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." My hope now as we end the series is not to say, "Well, that was a fun month. Those were some good topics that the pastor talked about, and that's some good things to maybe read and think about." But my hope is that God is calling us to do something higher than that, to not just look at the passage. And please flip to Matthew 5, 14 to 16, as that's going to be the last passage here that we look at as we reflect on what we're supposed to be doing here in Cremona, here in our church, and here in our world. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, again, it's behind me. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. Hugh Halter, who I've mentioned before in this series, he says this about building the kingdom where we are. If Christians simply focused on doing the most basic aspects of Christianity, like loving each other, it would say more to the watching world than all the systematic theology we could throw at them, all of the words that we could throw at them if we just loved. And this whole series on kingdom building was done for a couple reasons. One of these that I mentioned is that we wouldn't just glance over a passage, that we would actually focus on what it's meaning. The Great Commission, the passage in James today, the Lord's Prayer, all of those very familiar passages, that we wouldn't just glance over it anymore. And the second reason for the series is that the Holy Spirit would be igniting a flame into action. And I believe God has called me to preach here boldly about the kingdom, about the gospel. And I'm excited for what God is calling us as a body. And like I've said in the past three sermons this month, I call us and challenge us to go. That includes me with you. Not just myself, not just you. We're in this together as a body. I believe God has called us here in Cremona for a reason. I believe God has called you where you live for a reason. And Jesus calls us to walk in the light, to be light, and to shine his light wherever we go. This is no different during the week when we're farming, when we're at Casey Foods, when we're anywhere. God calls us to be a light. We're called to love above all, to care above all, and to seek the lost, like Jesus said in the Luke 19 passage with Zacchaeus. It's now been just about a month since we moved from Calgary. And one of the things that I loved about Calgary is the opportunity to do whatever you wanted. And yet when I look here, when I look in Carstairs and Didsbury, I see the exact amount of opportunity that we had in Calgary. There are people looking for Jesus. See, people are excited about this idea of Jesus. A lot of people know about him, but they're not enjoying the idea of church. They don't like coming here on a Sunday morning. They don't like having the routine of people standing up when they know, and people sitting down. But the great thing is that people are searching for Jesus. People are excited about the things that he teaches. And with that comes the Bible and comes us coming alongside them and telling them more about this Jesus person. Let's go forth out of these walls that we call Cremona Congregational Church to show people what the actual church is. A body full of people desiring to tell others about the love of Jesus, the mercy of his message, and the grace that we don't deserve, but we receive through him. Let's bow down in prayer. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you so much that we can be here, and like many people in our world who can't be out in public and worship you, Lord, I thank you so much for this time that we can have here. Lord, for this whole idea of the kingdom, Lord, it's a lot of things to digest for a lot of us. How are we supposed to do this? Are we prepared? Are we, what are we going to do? And I pray, I thank you for this time of preparing our hearts, my heart, for what you have planned for us in the future, whether it's tomorrow or years from now. I thank you so much for your son and for the great good news that he has brought to this world, to us. Lord, I pray that since we know that good news, that we can go forth in action and share, be witnesses of your gospel message. In Jesus' name, amen.